Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 19th year. As always, I'm your host, Jess Marquez, and our guest today is Jeannie Hovland, Vice Chair of the National Indian Gaming Commission, to talk about the Commission's priorities for the rest of the year, its forthcoming industry revenue report, and the evolution of the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act over the last 30-plus years.
This podcast is sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the premier affiliate marketing site that delivers quality players to your online casino, sportsbook, or poker room with transparency and integrity.
The National Indian Gaming Commission is one of the most influential bodies in tribal gaming, and the Commission's Vice Chair, Jeannie Hovland, has become a key leader in both the NIGC and the tribal industry overall. Despite the recent departure of longtime Chairman Sequoia Simamar, things aren't slowing down for the Commission, which is set to release its highly anticipated revenue report later this summer. Hovland and I spoke at the Indian Gaming Trade Show and Convention in April. So Vice Chair Hovland, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing today?
Doing great. It's been a great week here at IGA, and I would say another successful conference.
I would say so as well. And, you know, like we were just talking about off air, I think this is like number four or five shows in a row that I've gotten a chance to talk with you guys, and I definitely love the opportunity, and it's great to always catch up with you guys.
Thank you.
And also, this is also the first time I've seen you since we did our January issue, and we featured you in our 25 people to watch list, which I was able to do the write-up for that, so thank you again for participating in that. That was very lovely.
Thank you. I was honored and humbled by that. I appreciate it.
So one of the another piece of housekeeping that I haven't had a chance to see you since was the recent appointment to the NIGC from Secretary Hovland. So can you talk just a little bit about that and kind of what that details, or because that was something that I was like a little bit like I was like I didn't really understand like what the nuances of that were, like for your duties like with vice chair and things like that. So sure. Could you kind of talk about that just briefly?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm absolutely honored that Secretary Hovland has proposed my reappointment. And the way that the commission was structured by Congress is that it's comprised of three full-time commissioners for three-year terms. One is the chair, and then there are two associate commissioners.
Okay.
And so the chair is appointed by the President of the United States and then confirmed by the Senate. And then the two commissioners are selected and appointed by the Department of the Interior. So then once you have two associate commissioners, then the commission will vote for the vice chair and the majority vote. So that's I'm an associate commissioner and I am the vice chair. So that is how that process works.
Okay.
Any other questions on that?
Well, I do have one more, but I want to kind of, sorry to jump around a little bit,
sure.
But I'll get back to that in just a second.
Okay.
So since the last time that I talked to you guys, former chairman, Sequoia Simamar has left. So I kind of wanted to start off and just kind of, could you give a kind of synopsis of like, what kind of authorities are like transitioned to you, if any, or kind of like what is the current day-to-day kind of operations look like since Chairman Simamar's departure?
Okay. And just to clarify, I am the vice chair.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to his departure, then Chairman Sequoia Simamar delegated the authorities that Congress allows a departing chairman to delegate.
Okay.
And one of those is the commission staffing authorities so that there is no interruption in the day-to-day operations. So we still have the authority to continue hiring, supervision of employees, and carry on with any procurement activities. So
okay.
That has not been disrupted and continues.
So just to kind of jump back to where we started, could you kind of give, for people like myself who may not be totally familiar, could you kind of give a breakdown or a refresher on how the new leadership is implemented or kind of what that process looks like or what it may look like moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, the commission is comprised of three full-time commissioners, appointed for three-year terms. So the chair is selected by the President of the United States, nominated, and then will go through a Senate confirmation. In the absence of the chair, the President of the United States can appoint a temporary chair with full authorities.
Okay.
I'm not certain the direction the administration will approach on that. Look forward to seeing that soon. And then the two commissioner positions are appointed by the Secretary of the Department of the Interior. It's a proposed appointment with a 30-day comment, and then the Secretary can determine to move forward on that. So three-year terms, at least two of the three on commission must be enrolled in an Indian tribe.
Okay.
And no more than two of the three commissioners can be of the same political party.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did not know that. See, I'm learning as well, just like our viewers, hopefully. So kind of getting into like the, just the kind of, again, back to the day-to-day kind of things. What are some of like the biggest priorities for the NIGC, I guess, for maybe the rest of this year?
We will continue to do our training. We have very robust training. Some of it is virtual. We have our national training topic of the month. We have had historic numbers since we've gone virtual. Our fiscal year 2023 report, we had over 20,000 training participants.
Really?
That year.
Wow.
Yes, but we also have site-specific training. Our tribes can reach out to the region director and ask us to come in and provide training on any type of regulatory issues that they would like us to provide training or technical assistance on. Outreach continues. That is a priority for me. It is so important since we had several regulatory updates in 2022 and 23 after extensive consultation. Now going and meeting with our tribal gaming communities, seeing how those updates hopefully are benefiting since they've been fully implemented now, asking if there are other regulations that they want us to look at when we have a full commission to consider for continued consultation. So those are some of the priorities. Continue to keep very busy across the agency.
So that kind of actually leads perfectly into my next question, was like, are there any kind of maybe new or old topics, I don't know, but like any kind of themes or topics that tribes have brought to your guys' attention or maybe are asking for more attention on or clarification or anything like that?
Yeah, it's we've had some tribes that have requested that we provide additional trainings on gaming ordinances, especially when they have had new commissioners and regulators come on board. So we definitely can do site-specific training on that, and we'll be discussing with our training team on having additional training opportunities on gaming ordinances, as well as alternate standards. Tribes have asked that we update our regulations and consider having a waiver for alternate standards. So that is definitely something when we have a commission, we will continue to consult with our tribes on and see if we need a regulatory update on that. Continued training on preparedness is also a request that we get a lot from our tribes, and keep very busy providing that training on preparedness. And sometimes they will ask that I participate in combating human trafficking in the tribal gaming industry. We work closely with our tribal gaming regulators and leaders, as well as the Department of Homeland Security Blue Campaign, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Office of Justice Services, to help with the development of a toolkit specific to human trafficking indicators in the tribal gaming and hospitality that the Department of Homeland Security published last year.
Well, I was going to ask as a follow-up. So I remember talking to you guys before that human trafficking as well as cyber threats have always been a big, not always, but have been recent a big proponents for you guys. And that sounds like that's continuing to be so as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We had a cybersecurity symposium or training, and we have another one that we will be doing annually. So we continue to engage in panel discussions and trainings and with our federal partners, as well as our tribal subject matter experts on cybersecurity.
Well, both definitely huge topics of conversation and need that will continue to be such. Mm-hmm. One thing that I wanted to ask about was the revenue reporting. Mm-hmm. So I believe we're probably like a few months away maybe from 2023's numbers coming out. I had talked with Chairman Simmermeyer previously about this, but it's been a little while, so that's kind of another refresher that I wanted to get to, is like, what exactly does the reporting process look like for you guys, and kind of like, how long does it take? And because I understand you're pulling reports from like so many different sources and things, so could you kind of give a little insight on that part of it?
Yeah, it is quite an undertaking every year, and really hats off to our finance department. As you know, we regulate over 500 gaming operations.
Wow.
244 tribes across 29 states. So we receive throughout the year and are still receiving the individual audit or the independently audited financial reports, which is where we get our numbers to produce the final gross gaming revenue. Our goal is to have a final number and a report by mid-July.
That's kind of what I was assuming.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it was last year. And I'll be interested to see what that number is for 2023, because I'll finally get a chance to use a new one. I think I've used the old one so many times. I just 40.8 or whatever it was, 40.9. I think it was like, I've said it so many times that I need a new one. I need some new material. So to finish up here, and thank you again so much for your time. I always appreciate it. Talk to you guys. This is kind of just like, not really like a prescient question, just kind of like a general question that I've always kind of wondered with you guys. But like, this is such a fascinating time for tribal gaming in a number of different ways, in terms of expansion, growth, new innovations and technologies and things like that. But you guys, obviously, as a federal agency, are operating under IGRA. Mm-hmm. And what are kind of like, generally speaking, what are some of kind of like the challenges and or opportunities to operating on under such a, I don't want to say old, but I mean, 35 years old is not young, piece of legislation? Kind of like, what are some of the challenges in navigating that? Because that's something that is interesting to me, is like I said, when you have these new innovations and new things and all these, you know, advancements, but also, like you said, your guys are under a piece of legislation that was, you know, older than I am, you know, I don't want to date, you know, so kind of what is it like for that?
Well, I mean, definitely, the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act, it was written to support the flexibilities of the trends that, and the evolution of tribal gaming. And so, and that's part of why, it's a big reason why we went with these extensive regulatory updates in 22 and 23 to support the trends that we're seeing with artificial intelligence, sports betting, online betting, online gaming. So we continue to uphold the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act and work with tribes to find flexibilities in our regulations to support the technological demands and changes that we're seeing.
Well, and I think that's such a key word. I've that's been such a big theme of like every time our previous conversations, whether it be with Chairman Sinemeyer or whomever from the NIGC, that's like the big sort of theme is like the flexibility of it, which I'm not a lawyer, I can't speak to, you know, the exact legislation of it, but that seems to be a very big hallmark of it, is that it's so adaptable and allows for so much, you know, innovation and creativity, as we've seen tribes over the years. So that's really interesting. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Vice Chair Hovland. Any parting thoughts, anything that you're excited to see here for the rest of the week? It is, as we record, it's Wednesday, early Wednesday, so there's still a little bit of time left. Anything else that you guys kind of have lined up, or anything else that you're excited to see?
Well, we are looking forward to our continued training. We had a great panel yesterday with on supporting the next generation of gaming regulators, so we brought in the Gila River Tribe to share their perspective from large operations in a more urban setting, and the Blackfeet Nation to contrast a smaller gaming operation in a very rural. So we're going to continue to have this same dialogue next week at the Oklahoma Tribal Gaming Regulators Association, and feature these strategies of recruiting and retention in the tribal gaming leadership, regulators, and operations with the Chickasaw Nation and what they're doing. So we want to continue to have this dialogue as not just in the gaming industry, but just across the nation, recruiting and retention and having a strong local workforce. So looking forward to those conversations.
Awesome, awesome. Well, again, thank you so much. I love having these conversations. I always say that being born and raised in Reno, I was definitely a child of the commercial industry, and learning about the tribal side and everything that goes into it has just been one of the more fascinating themes of my career so far. And obviously speaking with leaders such as yourself is a big part of that. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by iGaming Player, the premier affiliate marketing site that delivers quality players to your online casino, sportsbook, or poker room with transparency and integrity. To learn more about the topics we just discussed, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.